The Good Shepherd, I guess that'd be a good way to title it, or Psalms 23, the Good Shepherd. I guess John 3:16 in this particular portion of scripture is about the most quoted and most read of probably many passages in the scriptures. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, would be another passage that I would write down among these that is read a lot and quoted a lot. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for, again, another opportunity I have to share your word. I ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts, and may we see some things that perhaps we haven't seen before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometimes Christians have a difficult time believing that God loves and cares for them. Sometimes we think about some of our past and we wonder why God still loves us. But I can tell you, you'll be surprised some people's past, and God can forgive them. All manner of sin is forgiven. All manner of sin is forgivable. All manner of sin. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the chiefest of sinners, he said. You know what he did? He was on his way to kill the Christians. He was on his way. He was going to kill them. He persecuted them. It's interesting. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Sometimes guilt over past sins is what causes some of us to conclude that we just feel that we're unworthy of his love. Perhaps other people might think that the Lord is just too busy to be bothered with my insignificant problems and needs. I suppose that probably hits most of us. How can the God of heaven and earth find time to be interested in me, and my things, my things that's going on in my life? But I can tell you, it doesn't take into account what our Lord says. He says he is our shepherd, and he tenderly cares for his sheep. It's probably the best known and most loved passage of Scripture. David wrote it some 3,000 years ago. And I can tell you it's just as applicable today as it was when he wrote it. He described the Lord as our shepherd. Every verse, there's a promise. And there's an action of what God is showing, how he so much cares for you and me. There's nothing that he has neglected or failed to provide for us. So what kind of shepherd is the Lord? He's a personal shepherd. That's the first part I want to give you. The Lord is our shepherd, their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Wow. That's what makes the difference. He's my shepherd. You take possession of him. He is a personal shepherd for you and me. He's personal. He's my shepherd. And when David wrote it, he certainly didn't understand how the Messiah would one day be able to fill this role. And so today we have Jesus as our good shepherd. In John chapter 10, 11 and 14 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. John chapter 10, 27 through 30 says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You see, the Lord is not a shepherd to everyone. Only to those who are his sheep. And to be his sheep means you need to trust him as your Savior through faith. And you need to have a personal relationship with him. We belong to him because he chose us before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1 and 4. And purchased us with his own blood on the cross, 1 Corinthians 6:20. And as his sheep, we know the shepherd. We listen to him. and we need to follow wherever he leads. Psalms 23 is often quoted by unbelievers. It is a source of comfort in times of loss and trouble. But the truth is this, they are not Christ's sheep. This psalm does not apply to them. It only applies to believers. Believers have this special intimate relationship with the Lord. God is providing shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall what? Shall not want. Think about that. I shall not want. There's a lot that I can talk about there. He lets me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. It's the shepherd's responsibility to provide for the physical needs of the sheep. And it's the way it is with our shepherd. He supplies not only our physical needs, but also our spiritual and our emotional needs as well. He supplies them all. He is a great shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And he has committed himself to do that for us. In Psalms 34, 9 and 10, we have these scriptures. Fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no lack of anything. The young lions do without and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Psalms 37, 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Philippians 4, 19. And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So if you ever think the Lord is not providing what we need, the problem, you see, is not with his faithfulness. It's the perception of our own needs. Sometimes we think we need more things. But God gives us what we need, not what we greed. He gives us what we need. So it's our perception of what we think we have to have. And this is a decision that I tell young couples looking to get married. You need to decide early on in your relationship, how much do you need? Because it will depend on how much you think you need as to how much time you'll be spending at home with your family and your children. How much do you need? It's greed sometimes that keeps you from doing some of the wonderful things that your family needs you. Your children need you. The shepherd is wise. He knows exactly what's best for us, and we can certainly trust him to know our true needs. Our true needs. The Lord is a pardoning shepherd. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name in Psalms, verse 3. There's two ways we see here that he restores our souls. He restores us when we wander, when we stray, when we take our eyes off of our shepherd and think we have found a better pasture than what he has provided. Wow, how many times has that happened? You think you can do better yourself? Not so. Not so. I had to go on a Jonah trip because I thought I could get the job done. It wasn't that God didn't want to do the job. He wanted to do the job. My problem was I didn't want to ask him. I'm the one that got myself into it, and I didn't want to ask him. And he was waiting for me to ask him. Shame on me. Or not asking him. It's what happens when we try to do it ourselves. He wants to provide for us. He loves us. He's waiting for us to ask. We belong to him. He comes to bring us back into safety. His will, as soon as we confess our sins and receive forgiveness and cleansing, 1 John 1:9. And the second thing is, he restores our souls. When we become weary, sometimes with busyness or just simply the burdens of life. He will do this when we draw near to him for fellowship. As we pray and we read his word, our spirits are lifted, our hearts are cheered. We're encouraged to persevere and trust him no matter what's going on in our lives. Anxiety and fear are replaced with our Lord's peace and joy. And so he restores our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness and obedience, which results in a lifestyle that is pleasing to him. And then he is a protecting shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. His rod and staff are symbols of his comforting protection and companionship, even when the path sometimes becomes darkened. We believe that the shadow of death here refers to actual death, but it can also signify the dark times in your life, the times of difficulties in your life, the times of loss, the times of struggles in your life. It can also mean those times as well. Either case it may be, we have no need to fear evil, because the Lord is always with us. He has promised to never leave or forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. We can trust him to safely guide us throughout our entire lives. And then lastly, God is a preparing shepherd. He's a preparing shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't that interesting? The one writing this certainly knew what that was like. He was being pursued by Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. Saul was jealous of him. Saul was jealous of him. And he wanted to kill him. So here's a man writing this that certainly knows what that's like. Yes, Lord, you can even prepare a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. I don't need to fear. I can just go ahead and eat my meal and have peace about it, because you're with me. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Not only do I have enough, I have more than enough. God, you've been more than enough to me. You've been good to me. I'm sure many of us here can testify to that. Lord, you've been good to me. I have enough. Thank you. I have everything I need. I was speaking to some salesman called me, and I got into a conversation with that telemarketer that he won't ever forget. I said, my Lord has supplied everything I need. What you're trying to sell me, I don't need. My Lord has supplied everything I need. I don't need or want for anything. I don't know who he called next, but maybe I hope he thought of it before calling the next one. That just happened this week. He invites us to come to his table and receive cleansing and refreshment in his presence. His goodness, his mercy, his faithfulness will pursue us every day of our lives, all the way to heaven, where Jesus has prepared a place for us in his Father's house. There are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. John 14:1-3. He told his disciples that very thing before he went to the cross. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. So I ask you this question today. Are you one of Christ's sheep? You can claim every promise in this psalm. If you don't yet know Jesus as Savior, it isn't too late to receive him. Come to him by faith and come into his flock today. If you're listening to this by way of internet, I pray for you today that you will give your heart to Jesus today. Ask him to come and live in your life. Confess your sins, and he'll come and live in your life. And then make your decision to follow him from this day forward. Are you confident of the Lord today that he does care about you and your concerns? Have you seen him as a shepherd through your life? Has he met your needs and led you in the paths of righteousness? He can. Make him your Savior today, and he'll do that for you as well. This time we're going to take a communion.